Good morning, everyone. I am blind as a bat. I don't have my glasses. I have to get Chris to bring them up. I know he just got here. Today is Q&A day, and we are going to do all things.
Hey, babe.
Oh, no, that was... I keep hearing Lucy cough, and I think it's Chris doing something. We are going to do all things realistic planning and Q&A day. I love the realistic planning week, and let me just tell you why I believe in realistic planning so much. I kind of went over this the other day inside the Zoom coaching call that we did. So if you've not listened to any of the realistic planning calls, we have several dedicated just to realistic planning at this time. We have, I think what I'll do is I'll have Mary Jo compile a list of all of our, just like all of our Q&As and all of our Zoom calls that have been very specific to it. We did calls back in July around realistic planning when it was part of the Gift of Fat Month, which we will be doing again in December. This was a huge hit inside our tribe. We all decided how much we were going to lose, and we really zeroed in on fundamentals and little bitty challenges to be able to just kind of kick things into gear. So we're going to do it again in December as a holiday edition. Sorry, guys. I've got something in my eye. It's just like so irritating me. And then we've had several calls all around realistic planning. And I think for you guys, it's really good to understand why the realistic plan is so important. It's so that you can figure out what eventually is going to work for you for your long-term weight loss. So when you're starting, or when you're even in the middle of your journey, no matter where you're at, you're always wanting to plan from the realistic standpoint. What we want to do is we want to be like, realistically today, I'm highly motivated, so I am willing to eat these things. From a place of, let's go. Like, I'm feeling it. I'm in my groove. Your realistic plan that day is probably going to look very different than the realistic plan of someone who's like, you know, I really need to meet myself where I'm at. I think if I push myself, it may be too much. I really want to focus on being able to stick to what I'm going to do. That plan will be very different. The realistic plan is not about just eating pizza and junk food. I want you guys to think a little bit deeper. The realistic plan's basis is always to do a self-check-in of like, hey girl, what are you really willing to do today? The realistic plan triggers you to be honest with yourself. It triggers you to start really talking to yourself in a very, like, I got you way. It's about overcoming your shoulds. The realistic plan will bring up for you diet mentality. It's like one of the surefire ways that if you're having diet mentality, this is what I love, is when somebody thinks they're realistically planning, they're not following it, and they're like, I think it's the diet mentality getting in my way. What most of you fail to see right there is that's the point. I need you to fail the realistic plan a few times to allow the shoulds, to allow the diet mentality to surface up and be like, oh, I'm still hanging on to these rules. And then I need to like show myself through a model how these rules I'm creating aren't helping me. So like a lot of times, I think what I really want to drive home for you guys is totally understanding the idea that, you know, as we're going along and as you're losing weight, you have to have fails. You have to like do the realistic plan, not follow it, to uncover the obstacle that's been tripping you up the entire time and not allowing you to get started to begin with. Like, you have to do your hunger scale. You have to overeat sometimes to understand what that fullness feels like, to understand what it is you tell yourself, to understand all those things. Because before, you were just eating that way thinking there wasn't a problem, or eating that way and ignoring that there was a problem, or eating that way and beating yourself up and hating yourself over it. Like, I want you guys to think about the reason why that I stage everything for you between hunger scale and realistic planning and 24-hour planning and stuff. It is to bring up what's not working. We have to see those things. And the difference between someone who's going to be successful and the person who's not going to be successful is all of that shit's going to come up, and there will be a group of you who will be like, okay, so if this is the stuff standing in my way, how do I get help on overcoming it? What is my next best decision? What is one thing I haven't tried yet? Some of you will go into problem solving mode. You won't beat yourself up over it. You won't think you're broken. You won't go into, there must be something wrong with me because I'm not getting it like everyone else. That person, they're just going to keep going. They're not going to feel amazing the entire time. Sometimes they're going to feel a little defeated, like, it would be so much easier if none of this stuff would come up, but it is, so I might as well deal with it. They have moments of frustration. They have cravings. They have all the things that this group over here that has the exact same problems has. The difference is the other side will be, something's wrong with me. I don't understand why I'm such a failure. You will make all of it mean something terrible about you. You will go through the process of beating yourself up. All the while, you won't learn anything about what's best for you. You won't learn what you're willing to try. You won't push yourself to keep going when you feel bad. You will teach yourself to just quit every time you feel bad. Feeling bad is the optional part. I guarantee you that you can succeed if you just stop the process of making everything that goes wrong mean you can't do this. Everything that goes wrong means you have found the next thing to work on that it will allow you to be able to do this. That's why I don't give you meal plans. I don't give you a clear cut, like, do these exact things. I could easily tell all of you to eat a very bland diet. We could do all those things and you would all lose some weight, but you would not learn anything about yourself. And the majority of you would get that plan and have like a big moment of relief. Oh, thank God. Now I don't have to think. Corinne's going to do all the thinking for me. I'm just going to follow the plan, blah, blah, blah. And then you'll have a bad day. And then you'll go on vacation. And Thanksgiving will happen. And a birthday. You get the flu. Time for my period. All of the things in life will continue to happen even if you have a very clear cut, this is exactly what to do to lose weight plan. And you will not have learned how to keep going. You will not have learned how to ask yourself questions about what's the next best decision. I don't teach you how to just follow me and do what I say. I teach you how to listen to what you're thinking and decide if that's what you're keeping and decide on how to think for yourself. You learn how to do it with your weight, you're going to learn how to do it with every other piece of your life. That's why so many of you not only lose weight, that's why so many of you get new jobs. That's why so many of you improve your relationships. That's why so many of you notice your family and your friends are like, you're like a whole new person. Your relationships start growing and enriching. The people around you, their lives start leveling up because you're really showing what it's like to live a new life. You're not just showing everybody like, well, here's my keto plan. Nobody's interested in that. Of course, some people will ask you like, you know, did you do keto? Did you do this? Tell me how you did that. But you know what? At the end of the day, no one is like so interested in your weight loss as the person who like loses weight mentally and physically. People want to know, what the fuck have you been doing? We have known and we have been the people who have lost weight so many times, and we've done it the asshole way to ourselves that we still hated ourselves. We still couldn't take a compliment. We couldn't believe that we'd lost the weight. So now we're very scared that we're going to regain the weight. When you don't teach yourself how to truly lose all of your weight mentally and physically, you end up getting to your goal and you've only practiced being terrified you can't stay there. You've only practiced needing someone to tell you what to do at all times. Because if you don't learn how to do it for yourself, you will always end up gaining the weight back. I mean, why bother? If you're going to lose all your weight and still be miserable and still critique your body and stuff, you're going to want to have hits. When the scale stops moving, you're going to need something to make you feel better. If you haven't learned how to do that internally, the best you can do is criticize your body and think 5 more pounds will do it. Eventually, you'll start eating things because you've earned it. And that is how we end up regaining our weight. And I am not in the business of teaching that. Ever. It never will be. Okay, so that's why realistic planning is so important. So if you guys have questions, use hashtag ask and I'm going to answer them now. Just remember that this week is all about getting real. The hardest part for most of you when it comes to realistic planning is letting go of the idea that it's not good enough. The only thing I'm going to do is point out the obvious. Here's what's not good enough. You continually trying to do something that you always say no to, or doing nothing because you think this won't be good enough. How about we do some really hard work? It's very easy to sit around and continue to eat off plan. It's very easy to give up on your plan and stuff. You know what's not easy? Deciding to do something when you feel like it's not good enough. Putting it all on there. Sucking the joy right out of your plan. Eating with awareness. Having to learn how to quit judging yourself. Having to learn how to make better decisions. That's the hard part. But most of you want to stay in the other hard part that has zero growth. You want to sit around frustrated day in and day out, dreading the evening because you haven't planned for anything, and every night falling into the cookies, getting that like moment of relief, and then getting up the next day and starting the bullshit process all over again. Resisting recovery worksheets because you're worried what you'll find out. It's like, you're already worried. You're worried about what you'll find out. What if we just find some shit out and decide, is it worth, like, I'm going to tell you, if you do a thought download or you do a recovery worksheet and somehow you discover you're an axe murderer and you didn't know it, we can just forget about it after that. I don't know. Like, y'all need to ask yourself, what the hell? What is the worst case scenario? Somebody was coaching yesterday. She was like, if I feel my feelings, worst case scenario is I'm never going to stop crying. And then she was like, and as I say that, it just sounds so stupid. And it's like, yeah. But when we don't write and we don't look at it, it feels true. Guys, no one is going to uncover anything and then never stop crying. Or that's going to be the domino that knocks them all down and suddenly you're in a deep hole of depression. I'm going to tell you right now, as someone who has dealt with depression since the age of 15, the times in my life that I have had to go on meds, attempted suicide, or thought I was going to go down that road again were all the times that I was eating and ignoring and hoping that I wasn't getting depressed. Afraid to, like, look at it. And that's when I got to the worst parts. Fear is not an antidote to depression. Trust me, I've tried it several times. It just doesn't work. It ends up digging the hole, and you don't know when you walk into it. Uncovering what you're thinking and taking an honest look at it allows you to feel like you have some control over your depression because you know it's just what you're thinking, and we can learn how to quit judging ourselves over it. That's where the relief comes in, not from the ignoring of it. I promise you, I've had thousands of women come through this tribe, and not one time has somebody said, I broke it. I did the TDL. It's so bad. Shit. I've never had anyone say, I wish I'd never started that. Most people say, like, I've started it, and they may be a little overwhelmed with all their thoughts, but there's some hope because we've taught you that it's just your thoughts. We can untangle that part quite easily. The hardest thing to untangle is the shit you're unwilling to see. Okay, can you please talk about self-accountability without judgment? I've always had to have one to have the other, and I'm trying to disentangle them. So you need to quit telling yourself, I've always had to have one to have the other. You've never had them both at the same time. Being hard on yourself doesn't lead to accountability. Being hard on yourself, the result is you teach yourself how to beat yourself up and self-loathe until you can't take it anymore. I'm going to take a big guess, Lorena. It's like you do it for a little bit, you get some results, you convince yourself that's working until you can't take it anymore, and then you quit. No one wins the game through self-loathing. So when we talk about like untangling them and having self-accountability without judgment, you have to start telling yourself first that you never won with self-judgment. Go back and look at all the times that you beat yourself up and you thought it got you to act. It taught you how to act from fear. But acting from fear is not long term. Our bodies can't sustain it. It will look for relief. So at some point, you end up quitting on something. I guarantee it. So the best way to untangle it for you is going to be the first step is you have to tell yourself, self-judgment slows me down every single time. Because here's the deal. If you just want to, let's say, stay on your plan, you can just say, today I'm choosing to stay on plan because I deserve better. It's the best thing for me. Or you can say, I'm going to stay on plan today because I'm a fat ass loser. You get to choose either way you want to do it. So you have to tell yourself, which one long term is going to help me keep weight off? Every single day telling myself I'm a fat ass loser, or each day telling myself that I deserve better? Seriously, I don't think you guys think about it like that. Like, if I say it out loud, like, could you imagine if I just said, all right, it's time to go talk to the peoples. You're such a loser, Corinne. I hope to God you can come up with something to say because you're kind of stupid. Like, if I talked to myself like that each day and it scared me to death, like, you're going to lose everything. They're all going to quit unless you go in there and do something. But you're kind of dumb. You know, you're not really educated. How many times, like, I might be able to force myself to do this, but how long do you think I would last? And yet you guys are trying to lose weight that way. And you tell yourself, well, I just need to be hard on myself. There is a difference between saying, like, I deserve better. We don't tolerate this behavior anymore. And talking to yourself in a very real tone versus calling yourself self-loathing names and talking down to yourself. For handling the holidays, will the workbook get a refresh? It already is, Caroline. Or will it stay the same and the tribe just go through it together? Thank you. It's all refreshed. I redid the videos, all the things. I'm not 100% sure. Mary Jo, send Sadie a quick note and ask her if she's uploaded the new workbook yet. I gave it to her to do the other day, but we've been out a lot. So the workbook might not be up, but I believe we've already uploaded it. If not, I will, handling the holidays is all done. I'm sorry, I'm thinking of Gift of Fat. Gift of Fat also is getting an update. It's getting new videos, it's getting a new workbook, all the things. So everything is refreshed and everything's redone. I've done no sugar, and tomorrow we are going to be doing the Tribe News Show. So I'm going to be talking to you tomorrow about handling the holidays and how we do it. But we are going through it next month. So the calls will be around that kind of stuff. You guys, if you go ahead and go to pnptribe.com on the homepage, if you'll scroll down, you'll see the calendar. The calls for next month are already on there. I highly recommend you go to the website and look at the calendar. Even if you've downloaded the calendar before, one of the things that I would do if I was you guys is re-download the calendar each month. There's, I think the iCal feed automatically will download. If you do it through Google, the second option, it does not. That's just a function of, that's like the Googles. I can't control the Googles. I can't even control iCal, but I do know that those two things happen. So, but if you go and you look, all the calls are already out. You can go ahead and schedule yourself. But I'm going to be going over everything tomorrow. I've done no sugar, no flour, and love the way my body feels without sweets. I've been in the tribe for 2 years and lost 30 pounds. Congratulations, Terry. Wonder which Terry you are. Wonder which one of my Terrys. I'm really struggling with a realistic plan because I'm all in the night before and in the morning to not eat sweets today, then blow it by the end of the day. I really feel like my plan should be no sweets except for exceptions about once a week. But every time I blow it, I think I need to put sweets back on the plan. If I keep putting them on the plan, when will I just commit to what I really want to do that makes my body feel great? You have to decide, like, there's some mismatch going on. You need to figure out your reasoning for not being on no sugar, no flour. And you need to also figure out your reasoning for wanting to include sweets and figure out if you do it in a responsible, like, let's say you plan your sweet or something each night. Have you just tried testing putting it on your plan and eating it in smaller amounts to see if it has no, like, you don't have a rebound effect. You don't have any kind of effect. Like, I'm the kind of person who can eat sweets and I can eat sugar and flour and I can not eat it for 6 weeks and feel no different. Like, I just don't have adverse reactions to it. Most people don't. I think that we all think that, you know, I know that my mentor teaches no sugar, no flour, but that's just one method of weight loss. It's just one method of controlling insulin and stuff. So you just need to, like, I would test it. Why don't you try your realistic plan for a couple of weeks? Because I think what's happening is if you will, for a couple of weeks, add it in and in like enough to satisfy you where you feel really in control and stuff, then I want you to really note like physically how you feel each morning, like all the things. Right now, I think what's happening is there may be some emotional beating up and it may be overriding whether you're actually noticing if you're physically feeling different. Some people do and some people don't. I'm not saying that there aren't people out there who can cut sugar and flour and like, I feel like $1 million, I never want to have it again. It's obviously like wonderful. But for you, if you're still wanting to have it, you have a couple things you have to look at. Why are you having it at night? Why are you choosing not to just plan it at night? Look at all your reasons and then decide, are they good reasons or are they shoulds? Or are like, I really want you to dig into it. You can also take some of those reasons over to ask coaches and let them help, like coach check you on those. This is a personal question. Do you have periods of depression at this point in your journey? If so, how do you process it now? I do. I recently had one. I don't talk a ton about it when it's going on. And I don't have them like I used to. Let's put it this way. I know myself well enough to know when I'm like feeling really sad and stuff. But one of the things that help me most are, and I've talked about this before, I have depression protocols. So like if I really am having a bad day or I really feel bad, like I make sure that I get up, I take my shower. A lot of times those are days that I will work in bed, I will work on the couch, or I don't work at all. I allow myself to cry a lot. I had decided a long time ago to quit telling myself that if I cried, something bad was gonna happen. I associated my crying, like as I just remember as a teen, especially it, when I was a teen and when I was, when Logan was like between birth and 1 year, I wasn't diagnosed with postpartum, but I also didn't go to a doctor. And I am very sure that I was postpartum, like just some really dark days. And I also remember, here's how I know, when I was, it was the first trip that I took without Logan with Chris for a long period of time. We went away for about, I think we were at one of his conventions for like 4 days. And for 3 days, I sat in a room with the blinds closed and I wouldn't come out and I would just cry all day. I mean, I just was like so depressed at that point. And I knew intellectually what was going on. I don't think that I emotionally wanted to see it. But anyway, so I have like a depression protocol. I have things that I journal every single day. I don't lie to myself about it anymore and I'm not scared of it. So I've done like, my models are like depression in the C line and I just have power thoughts around it. And my thoughts are, you know, it's always in my control. Like I just never have felt like there was ever a moment that thinking that somehow depression was out of my control or something has been beneficial. I don't care what doctor, like very often people can tell you things and sometimes think can even be a fact, but just thinking about it just doesn't lead to helpful outcomes. And so me ever believing that it's out of my control, it's happening to me, it's happening to me again, I just refuse to go there. I am always in this place of, I can handle this. I've handled it before, I'll handle it again. Just like, I know how to get help. I have no problems taking medication if I need it. I'm just fortunate to where I have been able to journal enough and write, and I will be the first to tell someone when I'm feeling that bad again. I don't hide with it anymore. I refuse to do that. But the main reason I don't talk about it a lot in here is because I think I talk about things enough, but like at some point, it's like I'd rather tell you what's working for me than to verbalize out loud what's like going wrong. Because sometimes for me, what I notice is that if I verbalize it too much, it starts becoming very real. If I write about it and work on it and then talk to someone about what I'm writing, then it feels like I've like rose above it a level and I'm looking at it versus swimming in it. So that's one reason why I usually just don't talk about it here. But I do still have periods. I guess it was, maybe it was 3 years ago. It was around 3 years ago. I think it was three or two years ago when I was working on drinking. I don't think I was an alcoholic, but there was something for sure going on with me. There was a lot of not feeling good enough happening. There was a lot of just, I was just in this weird place, and I was working so hard, and I was feeling very disconnected from Chris. He was working really hard at Captain D's. He was also working really hard on all the things here at PNP. So he was basically working like 80, 90 hours a week. I was working a lot. We were just, Logan was in a really good place, except for he was kind of struggling some at school socially. He just hadn't come into his own yet. And it was just an odd time. And so I noticed that we were going to Burger Republic a lot. You know, like I was finding a reason to go. And one of the things that I noticed was I was breaking my plans a lot. I wasn't eating, but I was drinking. And I had gotten to where I was like drinking like 3 to 4 glasses. And I would tell myself it's not that big a deal. And like, I feel good. And you know, like I could create all the evidence that it was okay. And then I just started like feeling like shit. And then I started just like really noticing, like, I just need to be honest about this behavior, you know? And like, you know me, like I am just like, when I know like planning works and everything and I'm not following my plans, I know something's going on. And it's not because I don't know how to follow a plan, it's because something's going on inside. So I just had to do a lot of work around it. And then that's when I've kind of talked about it a lot in the tribe a couple of years ago. I really worked on like planning realistically with alcohol. It wasn't as much fun to drink. It was really examining how I felt every morning. Like I would write about all and any physical sensations that I was having, like all the things. And I started figuring out that it was a lot of, I was co-mingling, feeling connected with Chris at the bar. I was using that to compensate rather than feeling connected in my brain. I was saying things like, this is the only time we get to connect. I was not like allowing myself to feel connected because he was choosing to work on my projects and just all kinds of stuff. So, but the short or the long answer, I guess, is yes, I still have times. I would say now what happens is I just have like days where I get really sad and overwhelmed with just all the things. And I don't even think overwhelmed is the right word, because I'm not one to stop taking action. I get scared real easy. Like I go to, like I recently hired my own coach. I mean, I've had coaches, but I really wanted to find someone who was like a high caliber coach, because I knew I had some stuff to work on when it just came to out. Like I just caught myself so afraid of my future. And not in growing with you guys in PMP, but just that I was screwing up our future, that I was somehow, I just take on so much responsibility. We've been doing a lot of inner child work. You know, the reason why I'm so on you guys about judgment and self-judgment is because I experience it a lot, and I'm really good. Like there's certain areas of my life that I'm so good about not judging myself now. And there's certain areas where I'm still really hard on myself, and I do it to the point of creating a lot of fear. Just like when we were talking about earlier in terms of who was it that asked the question about the self-accountability without judgment. Like I'm really learning how to work without judging myself all the way through the process, or basically overwhelming myself in getting really upset about things. I needed someone to kind of help me just stop being scared all the time. So anyway, so I'm not depressed right now. I am on my period. Thank you for asking that question. Today is emotional day anyway. But I just, I have my own shit to work on all the time. I always do. I just, the one thing that I feel really confident about now, though, is I don't feel the need to have to be working on my body image and my weight and stuff like that. I mean, I still have moments with my body and stuff, but overall, like, I feel like, honestly, and I know this is going to sound crazy after 15 years, I recently feel like for the first time, I really feel like I have zero doubts I'll ever go back. Like, I totally believe that I'm someone who will be this weight for the rest of my life. I know that I'm always going to love exercise. The first, like, whenever I think about setting personal goals, the first goals I always want to set are ones related to exercise because I love it. You know, I just never had that as a kid. I just think I really appreciate it as an adult because I never had it when I was a kid. And so, I was talking to my coach the other day about how I just love how confident I am now because, like, I just feel like I know how to realistic plan. I know how to prioritize eating healthy. I know how to have fun when I want to have fun. And I feel like I do it all because I do love myself and I don't do it at my own expense anymore. I just haven't really learned how to effectively, like, you know, I still have to manage my brain around work. You know, my mom worked really hard. I associate working with, you know, like you feel like you have to be working really hard and going to bed dead every day and that kind of stuff. And so those are things I'm working on. Anyway, it's enough about Corrente. Let's read the next question. Can you talk about knowing what is normal hunger? I eat to my 2 and then get physical hunger a couple of hours later. I feel this is not normal and it's unfair. Knowing what is normal hunger. I eat to my 2, then get physical hunger a couple hours later. I feel like it's not normal and it's unfair. Hey, yes, the circumstance feeling hungry too soon. No, the circumstance is not feeling hunger too soon. That is your thought. For some people, feeling hunger after 2 hours and then they're just going to wait for 3 feels amazing. So that's how we know it's not too soon. There's no too soon. There's just like hunger. You have thoughts around it, though. It's unfair. What if it just is? What if we just decide it's no longer unfair, that this is just what's happening? Now what? If it wasn't unfair, what would I be doing? Would I be waiting on the hunger? Would I be celebrating that I'm probably tapping into my ass stores? Would I be, I don't know, adding more fat to the previous meal and testing that to see what happens? Would I be eating maybe a few bites more to see if that gets me a little bit longer? Whatever you want, but sitting around thinking it's unfair is kind of like whining about it, right? And that whole idea that it's too soon, you know, it's like, what is too soon? For some people, if I feel hunger in 5 hours, that's too soon. Like, there's just no too soon. There's your thought about it. So it's like, clean that part up first. Let's just decide there's no too soon. There's no too long. It takes too long for me to feel hunger. There's none of that. Let's just say, like, this is when I felt hunger. It was this amount of time. If you think, I'd like to be able to, like, go 3 to 4 hours, then you get to test. Do I want to go 3 to 4 hours by sitting through that initial wave and see if my body stabilizes and then the hunger releases? Do I want to test adding more fat? Do I want to test having bigger meals? I want you thinking about it like that. I'm going to test different things because it's not that it's too soon and I'm whining about it. It's because I'd like it to be this long. So now I'm willing to test to see what happens. And I'm willing to test different things to see which one feels like it would be right for my lifestyle. Do you see how the energy is very different in the way that I describe it there versus the way you're just like, it's not fair. Is my circumstance is too soon? Like, that's almost from that standpoint of like you're the victim of the food. It's like, no, you're always in control over it. You're in control of that lifestyle that you're creating. And that's how you do it, is by thinking about it in those terms. It was a good question, Saba. Letty, I have never done a recovery worksheet. I should have many times. I keep telling myself I don't need to. Let me tell you this. Here's when you know you don't need to do recovery worksheets. When you're no longer overeating. If you're there's a lot of times I could have done one. Huh, I wonder why it's not stopping. Because I have zero awareness. I have also never done the journaling or the model, the protocol, and the TDL. I feel overwhelmed with it. Why? Because you keep telling yourself you don't need to. Why would you do all the things if you don't need to do them? What if you just, rather than telling yourself, I don't need to do it, what if you just told yourself, hey, these are the things I should try to see what happens. Pick one and do it. I want you to notice that everything that you've ignored has anything to do with how you're thinking. Guess what? How you're thinking right now has gotten you the result you have right now. So whatever you weigh, however you feel, like I feel overwhelmed, it's because of my thinking. If I want to quit feeling overwhelmed, I have to clean up my thinking. If I want to weigh different, I'm going to need new thoughts that create a lower weight. I can't do that by ignoring all of my thinking. Like, I would be really curious, like, for you, like, why ignore all of my thinking? What do I think is going to happen if I dig into my thinking? It's not complicated. The biggest problem you have is I'm overwhelmed by it. It's one thing at a time. Come up with a protocol. Whatever you're thinking when you come up with your protocol, like, well, the reason, like, it would be interesting to know the reason why I'm not doing my protocol is because it's this, it's that. Like, just pick one of them. So we can no longer be overwhelmed because we're only going to do one. We're not going to do thought downloads. We're not going to do recovery worksheets. We're not going to do anything else. We're just going to do, from now on, we're going to come up with one protocol. And that, when you sit there and you decide the reason why I don't want to is because, and you come up with your list of reasons, say, and this is why I'm not losing weight. Every one of those thoughts will be why you're not getting what you want. Because I'm going to tell you right now, you can't be where you want because you're still overeating. When we're overeating, the simple act of overeating, guys, means at some point I have decided to give my body more food than it needs, more than it can physically handle, require it to slow down and process and stuff, all because emotionally I want something. I want my body to suffer for my emotional need in this moment. When we overeat, we are telling our body, hey, I know you were designed to only handle this much food. I know your insulin. I know your organs. I know your stomach volume. Like, it's only this big, but somehow you keep trying to do this. Like, you're requiring your body to adapt to being overfull, which means it has to sacrifice your pancreas. It has to sacrifice the efficiency of your colon. Your heart has to sacrifice muscle to pump through certain things. Like, I want you to think about it on a level of, oh, you mean when it tastes really good and I just want extra and I think I'm entitled because I've been working hard. I want you just to know the space in which you're also operating. You're setting aside the natural design of your body. You're asking it to take some years off your life, maybe even just minutes. You may be asking your body to take off the minutes that you're going to say I love you to someone, and you ran out of minutes because you ate that extra slice of pizza. That's what we do to ourselves. And we have to think about it more than just, because this is what you guys do. You think about things more in terms of what you want right now. But it's pizza, Corinne. I just want to be able to eat all that I want. It's like, that's fine. But always tell yourself those things that you're also paying in advance. And that's the stuff that I think we have to start thinking more about, not to feel bad, but to feel sober, to not be delusional, to not tell ourselves only one side of the story. You need to hear all of it. I've been listening to the hunger scale and doing my plans. I've noticed that my hunger scale shifts based on activity and type of food. It will. So I keep shifting my plans, adding snacks, removing snacks. I have thoughts that I do not want too much food on my plans, but I know I need to plan for days where my plus two needs more food to hit it. Advice. I think the way you're doing it is fine. I would much rather you guys, I think for me, I don't know if it's the strong thing. For me, I would rather see, especially if you are active, I'd rather you have food on there and then you override your desire to eat it just because it's on the plan. And you listen to the inner wisdom, I don't need it today. I'm leaving it on the table. I think it's from my own experience with all of my food issues. And I think a lot of us are very similar in terms of, to me, it's the best work I ever do is saying no to what's in front of me. It's like, God, if it's on the plan, if it's in the bowl, if it's this, that, and the other, the restraint and constraint and the ability to be able to override that immediate desire is so powerful and translates everywhere. So if you have it on your plan and you notice it's a day where you just don't need it, the ability to be able to say not today, I think is a very powerful skill to develop. I don't think you could go wrong either way. There's also the skill of not planning and really wanting it and override the wanting in the moment. But I guess above all is the ability to be able to craft plans with love and whatnot, and then to be able to follow them from love also, from giving myself the gift and stuff. I love the idea of the depression protocol. You have a period protocol. I have my period protocol and it's in effect today. I have vacation protocols. Like during the summer, I have a very different, like food and alcohol protocol than I do during this time of year. So I just I've gotten all my summer weight off. Yay me. I don't really put on a lot of weight though. Over the summer, I usually put on like anywhere from 3 to 5 pounds. And I kind of just get to, so I like to be anywhere from like about 150 to 160. That's usually my range. And then by the end of the summer, it's like, you know, mama's weighing in usually between that 158 to 160 range. And so I spend the fall getting back down. I'd love like that 155. That's where like kind of where I feel the best. I think I look really good, all the things. And that's where I'm sitting at now. And then sometimes like during the winter, like right now I'm training for that 5K and different things. Sometimes I start getting lower and lower just naturally because like, you know, some days I just get busy and I just skip a meal. You know, and I'm just like, I don't notice that I'm hungry and whatnot. So, but that's my range. And so I have like a summer protocol where, you know, we drink all day when we go to Vegas and we like to go to Vegas like 4 or 5 times. And so I also have date nights when I'm at home. I just feel like summer is like our favorite time of year. So like we're going to have all the dates. Logan's out of school. We just tend to go out more and I like bank more alcohol than I normally would. And I also like, I don't know if y'all know this, but I am a huge fan of the nachos. So in the summer, when we go to Vegas, I have nachos every single trip. You know, it's just, you know, I probably do more exception eating during the summer. And then during the winter, not as much. You know, we don't have a big family and our family's real spread out. So like, I know a lot of you, the holidays are your time. The holidays our time where I'm home a lot and I get to eat the healthiest and I've got my gym and, you know, it's just an easy time for me to really like just be healthy. So I kind of have different protocols for that. My period protocol, like today I'm having Kodiak pancakes for breakfast because today I just want all the carbs, like seriously. And I'm hungry right now. I didn't have a chance to eat before I came on here and I'm fucking starving. So I'll have my Kodiak pancakes for lunch. I'm going to have, it's this new JJ dinner. In fact, y'all, I've got to update my journal. I keep forgetting to do it. It's really good. I will put the recipe in there because this is a surefire winner, especially if you like any kind of asparagus with watermelon. I'm just on a watermelon kick these days. I mean, I could eat my ass in it. I don't know what is going on with me, but I am just like watermelon. And then for dinner, I'm having a Weight Watchers pizza and a Halo top. I know me. Like, when I'm on my period, I tend to want carbs. I want things that are on the sweeter side. And then about 3 days in, I become an incredible carnivore. And I want liver and I want meat and I want all the salt and stuff. So I went and bought some of this, my favorite cheese. I already told Chris this weekend that I want him to order Cracker Barrel to go because I want to have a big baked potato with all the salt and some ketchup on it and chicken livers. Like, I know. Like, it's the same shit every single month. And what happens, though, is I plan for it so that I'm not just like, fuck it, and like, my period sucks, and blah, blah, blah. I don't do that. I don't ever practice thinking that there's just, like, just throw it all to the wind moments. I just plan for it, and it works. We're not overweight because we have planned for these things. We're overweight because we say fuck it and go at the effect of food. Those of you who are in fuck it mode will always eat more of us than those of us who are in deliberate planning mode. It's not even called a Weight Watchers pizza. It's Lean Cuisine, but I always call it my Weight Watchers pizza, and it's the spinach mushroom. That is my all-time favorite. Like, this is how I eat it. I cook it. I bring a fork to bed. I first eat all the cheese and spinach and the mushroom off of it. And then I tear off little bites of the bread. And the reason why I like that pizza so much is because it's dry and it's thick. I have never liked buttery, crusty pizza ever in my life. Like, I like it just like almost like you got to drink with it to swallow it. I just have always liked bread like that. So that's my favorite. And that's what I'll have tonight. And I'll be having cookies and cream halo top with it. I just re-downloaded the training calendar again. It looks like all Saturday office hours are gone now. Will they come back after the holidays? They may, Caroline. The reason why we took them off of Saturdays is we're offering different calls now with the coaches and stuff. There's still going to be the Tuesday night. The Saturday ones, we barely had 60 people ever attend. So, you know, we have like almost 7,000 people in the tribe. There just wasn't anyone coming to the calls outside of about 50 to 60 people a week. So we decided to give Betsy that day to do more Ask Coaches. But if you look at the calendar, there's more specialty calls. I wanted to try to do calls that would be like I've been wanting to do the Recovery Worksheet Lab for a long time. So I'm going to be hosting one of those every month. Y'all have been asking for calls that are very specific to the model, to where you can bring models and the coaches are going to talk about models and run models with people. Like, where it's going to be Model Palooza. And then, hang on, let me get to my calendar. Oops, I need to see November. Crap, hang on. Well, I can't. Oh, there's like going to be a hunger scale Q&A. We're going to have more tribe stuff, the worksheet lab. You're going to notice on my calls on Sundays. We have to change the title. They're all wrong. I've got to change the titles. On Sundays, what's going to happen is, oh my God, y'all, I've got something in my eye so bad. The first half is going to be planning with Corinne on Sunday. So for 30 minutes, I'm going to be talking about weekly plans, answering questions about your weekly plans, helping you guys use your planner, all the things. And then the rest of it is office hours with me. So we're kind of trading out. We're going to have like office hours where you guys can just raise your hands with me rather than having to do them on Saturdays. So that's going to be beneficial. I'll go over more of it tomorrow, and I'll make sure that the calendar's updated with the new titles, because it's not. Oh my gosh, I've got the biggest eyelash in my eye, y'all. Do you have suggestions on working on leveling up foods? I want to be a healthy eater for my body and mind. I would actually, since you're in the Facebook group, I would post that in here and get a lot of ideas from the girls. I think that's more beneficial, because, I mean, I've got a couple of ideas on some things. But if you were to post, Regan, if you made a post with, here are all the foods I like to eat that I believe could be leveled up, what are y'all's ideas? What are the next steps? That would be a thread that would rock hard. Like, it would be watched so much, and we could use it as like a tool. I would do that. I'm in the exact place with alcohol as you just described. I almost feel like I've subbed out over drinking for overeating. A lot of people do that. How do you start out realistically planning your drinks? Hannah, go to the Mastering Drinking Bonus course and take it. All steps are in there. I did that course a couple of years ago for everyone. It's really good, and it talks to you about all of that. I don't understand exceptions. I just don't get it. What makes it an exception to your protocol? Why not just put it in your protocol? Exceptions are things that like nachos for me are an exception. I can plan them, but like during the winter months, I know that if I eat nachos every single night, I'm probably not going to maintain my weight. Exception foods are those foods that, one, that you can have it on your like, I always write mine into my, like, I write my exceptions into my protocol, but it will say, like, here's my protocol and my exception foods are, which means I plan them irregularly. I don't plan them all the time. Like, if Corinne eats chicken liver, fried chicken livers every single night, Corinne will not keep her weight off. If I eat nachos, french fries, donuts, I don't care if I eat to my two. If I'm eating those things at this weight every single day, like, just imagine if I ate, if I woke up every day and decided, all right, I'm going to eat to my two with donuts, and then I'm going to, for lunch, because I love nachos, I'm having nachos, and I'll eat to my two. And then for dinner, you know, I really like wine and french fries and a burger, and I'm only going to eat all that to my two, and I'm going to have, like, a glass or two of wine a night. I would never be able to maintain my weight. Even if I ate to my two, I would be eating foods that over the long haul would not happen. Now, when I weighed 250, I could plan some of those things. I don't know if I could plan them every day, but I kept ice cream for a while until I was ready for some more results. And I started tapering back the ice cream and stuff. Eventually, like, now, ice cream is not on my protocol. If I ate ice cream every single night, I don't know that I could sustain my weight and still be able to eat salads and all this other stuff. You know, exceptions are about a couple of things. One, it's the foods that you can have on your protocol if you want, but they should be eaten irregularly, because overall, you know, they're not long-term probably great for your health. You know that they don't keep your bowels moving. You know, they're more of a fun food. They're not bad. They're just like something that you just probably aren't going to be able to eat every single day and then, like, have functioning bowels, have all the things that you want, and weight loss and blah, blah, blah. The other part is you want to start developing a relationship with those foods as, like, I want to be the kind of person that waits on it and looks forward to it and feels very in control around it. Putting it down as an exception also allows you to be like, oh, so I can just plan for this and look forward to it and then really enjoy it when I have it, and then go back to enjoying all these other foods too. It's like helping you build a relationship with all the foods. I do all the sheets, but I haven't done a protocol. I think I'm afraid to make one because it means I have to stick to it. What's the difference between that and your 24-hour plan? I can plan, and my plan can include things I like, but it feels like a protocol means I won't like what I'm eating. Your protocol is all the things you like eating. The fuck are you talking about? Like, seriously, I want you to listen to what you just said. Everything that's on your 24-hour plan now is your protocol. You just need to write that down on a sheet of paper. All the protocol, like, guys, the protocol's job is to show you all the foods you would like to pick from. It's to teach your brain that you can have a lot of things and still lose weight. It's like, and right now this is my protocol. It's also there because, like, if you're starting to feel like shit, you can, like, quickly look at your protocol and be like, I wonder if it's because I keep eating this. A protocol is not like, there's no sheet of paper, Jessica, that's going to be like, and now you're the boss of me, Jessica, or I'm the boss of you. It is a place for you to, like, be like, oh, I get to eat all of this. This isn't like regular diets where I can't just put anything I want on my protocol. That's all it is. It's a way to just reinforce you're in control of the process. There's not me controlling what you get to eat. There's you deciding, here are the things that work for me. Here are the things that I want to include regularly. Here are my exceptions that, like, these foods, I love them, I want to plan for them, and I want to plan for them joyfully. And when I eat them, I'm going to enjoy the heck out of it. And all of this is the stuff that I know now that I actually can have and lose weight. I don't have to do all that restrictive shit anymore. Those of you who, like, resist the protocol, it's because you think it's like, oh, here's where the diet begins. Here's where all the restrictions begin. It's like, yeah, it is restrictive in a good way. It's restricting you from thinking that you can't, that you can only have these things. It's opening you up to being like, oh, I'm keeping myself to all these amazing foods. Whatever amazing foods you want to put on there. Most days I have bulletproof coffee for breakfast and it holds me till midday until I'm hungry again. So my plan reflects that. But some days I will end up feeling hungry to a negative two or three earlier. Is it better to eat even when I don't have it on my plan because I'm at a negative two? Or do I push it so I'm not eating off plan? I would eat off plan. And if it's happening every now and then, I just wouldn't worry about it. I would just wait. Like, I'm hungry as fuck right now. I've been hungry since before this call began, but I had to get ready. Like, there was no stopping the train because I wanted to work out this morning, got my workout done. I wanted to get ready because I have calls all day, so I needed to make sure that I was dressed and ready. I was not going to have time to be doing a bunch of getting ready after this. But I was like, oh God, y'all, I'm at my negative two. Let's call the call now because I got to go eat. No, you just wait. It's like, I feel like I can wait an hour. I don't think, you know, the world's going to burn down in flames if I have to wait a little bit. If you notice, though, every day you're getting hungry or almost every day you're getting hungry, then I would just be like, oh, okay. So if I don't want to have to be hungry almost every other day or whatever, let me just start planning for this small meal so that when it's lunchtime, I can go ahead and eat. And you just figure what that is. How often do you feel like you change your protocol? As often as I want. So whenever I feel like I want to change it. I don't change it, you know, outside of every 2 weeks, but I usually it's pretty seasonal. Like, I have like a protocol right now that has me eating breakfast every day because I was not a breakfast eater for a long time, but I really want to run a sub 35K. I am just telling y'all, I'm going to do this. And what I was noticing is that like the workouts are really hard. And if I don't eat, then I feel really tired in the middle of the day. And I don't feel like my legs were recovering fast enough. So I just started to add breakfast back in. And guess what? I've started getting hungry. I just don't overthink things because I'm not in a panic thinking that there's a right way. There's ways to test it and see what's working. Like, a lot of you think like eating breakfast is a bad thing. And a lot of you think eating breakfast is a good thing. Breakfast is just a meal. It's not anything. If you want to be a breakfast eater, be a breakfast eater. If you want to drink my coffee and wait till 11 or 12, be that person. If you want to if you work out really hard in the morning and you feel like, you know what, I've tried just waiting until I'm hungry and stuff, because that's what I did for like a long time, but I wasn't exercising as hard as I am right now. But for a long time, I could exercise in the morning, put in a pretty good workout. I wasn't looking to grow any muscle. I wasn't looking to get any faster. I was just purely working out. And I could wait and I could eat at 12 or 1 o'clock and I'd be tired, but it was fine. But now I don't want to do that. I have a different priority. So I just changed the protocol. As like things designate. Like when January hits, I'll probably change my protocol again because I start traveling heavy again in January. I'm going to want to have protocols that make it easy for me to be able to eat out, make it easy for me to have room service and hotels and stuff like that. I don't like one of the things I love to eat when I'm on the road, like I love chips and guac. It's an easy meal. I can eat to my two. I feel like the avocado really helps me. I just have some chips and I go. I feel like I'm getting a little mix of everything. But when I'm at home, I don't do that. I like to double down on salads and I like to double down on all the vegetables I can get and stuff. Sometimes when I'm traveling, it's just not as easy to get decent vegetables and stuff. So I just have different things that I do. I think the thing about it is you guys want to know exactly what to do rather than being like, I should test a lot of stuff. That's how I'll get all my weight off, is by testing it and being willing to change things to make it work for me. Rather than somebody tell me what's going to work because I'm so afraid it won't. Because there's no, the only people where it works for them is when they finally stop looking for somebody else to tell them what to do and they start just doing things and figuring out what's working, what's not, questioning it, asking questions in here. That's the beauty of it. That's how protocols work. That's how the hunger scale will work. That's how a realistic plan will work, is when you are sitting there having this willingness to be like, I'm trying this for a couple of weeks. I'm going to be really honest about it. I'm going to really look at what I'm doing. And in a couple of weeks, if it's working, I'll stay with it. If it's not working, guess what? I'll just try something different. I'll just make a tiny little shift and stuff. And that's it. Okay, that's all the questions, guys. Y'all have a good one. Tomorrow's the weekend motivator, and I'll see you at noon on Facebook, 12 Central Time. We'll do the Tribe News Show, and I will talk about all the things coming up. Make sure that if you are going to join me for the 6 months of coaching with me, where you spend 6 days in Nashville and all the things, Monday is the last day to sign up. Today, Aunt JJ and I start packaging things. So all my girls who've already signed up, I think there's 59 or 60 of you now. I think there's either 10 or 11 spots left, and that's it. And then we close on Monday anyway. So for those of you who are thinking about signing up, now's the time. And those of you who already have signed up, your boxes are going to start shipping. There's a few that will go out tomorrow, I believe. Then the rest of them will be going out throughout the weekend on Monday. So you'll be getting them sometime towards the end of next week. And then we are going to rock and roll. And your call schedule that starts in November is all posted in your private Facebook group with me. Okay. Y'all have a good one. Talk to you later. Bye, y'all.